And take your Bibles and turn over to the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 22. We're reading verses 1 through 6 for our text here tonight. And we're going to talk about this subject, God's requirements of His people. God's requirements of His people. Let's go ahead and begin reading Joshua chapter 22 in verse 1. Then Joshua called the Reubenites and the Gadites and half the tribe of Manasseh, and said unto them, Ye have kept all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, and have obeyed my voice, and all that I commanded you. Ye have not left your brethren these many days unto this day, but have kept the charge of the commandment of the Lord your God. And now the Lord your God hath given rest unto your brethren, as he promised them. Therefore now return ye, and get you unto your tents, and unto the land of your possession, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you on the other side of Jordan. But take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you, to love the Lord your God, and to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments, and to cleave unto him, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. So Joshua blessed them and sent them away, and they went unto their tents. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we pray that you'd give us instruction from your word tonight. And Father, I pray that your spirit would rest upon this place, that Father, each heart would be open to the sound of the voice of the Lord, and Father, be willing to let the word of God penetrate their heart and their life. And Lord, I pray that we would be a people that would be diligent to work hard at aligning our life with the truth of God's word. And Father, letting the Word of God be our guide, letting the Word of God shape and mold the patterns and the habits of our lives. And Father, to always be tender and sensitive and yielded to the direction and to the Spirit of God in our life. I pray, Lord, that you'd bless tonight. Thank you for your Word. Thank you that we can open it, read it, study it. Father, help us to love it. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to zero in on verse 5 here tonight as we consider this subject, God's requirements of His people. Verse 5 says, But take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you, to love the Lord your God, and to walk in all His ways, and to keep His commandments, and to cleave unto Him, and to serve Him with all your heart and with all your soul. There are two key words that are used here in this verse, and it's the words diligent and the word heed. Joshua says, but take diligent heed to do the commandment. Take diligent heed to love the Lord. Take diligent heed to walk in His ways. Take diligent heed to keep His commandments. Diligent heed to cleave unto Him. And diligent heed to serve Him with all of your heart. The word diligent here is a word that means, the definition of it is vigorous. But it has a meaning, it carries a meaning with it, and that means wholly or completely and also speedily. And so Joshua says, take diligent or vigorous or complete or whole heed. The word heed means to make sure. It means to observe. And so Joshua says, look, make sure that you with vigor and with speed and completely regard or observe these things, the commandment of the Lord. Now, at this, in the context, Joshua is giving the people the freedom and the liberty to go about their lives now that the land had been conquered. And what we find here is that the 2.5 tribes, Manasseh and Gad, and or the tribe of Reuben and Gad, and half the tribe of Manasseh, they wanted to keep their possession that God had promised to them on the other side of Jordan. And so instead of going into the land that God had promised and driving out the people, they were just going to stay on this side of Jordan because it was good land for their cattle and so on. But the stipulation was for them to, and by the way, I don't know if this was God's perfect will for them. It may have, they ended up doing it, and it may have been God's permissive will. But I wonder if there was another possession or part of the land that God had in store for these 2.5 tribes on the other side of Jordan to go into the land. Either way, there was a stipulation. And the stipulation was that they had to go in and fight with their brothers and drive the heathen out of the land. And we actually go with me back to Numbers chapter 32. We can just take a look at it. Hold your place here. Go back to Numbers 32, and we'll just read about it. Numbers 32, verse 1. Now the children of Reuben and the children of Gad had a very great multitude of cattle. And when they saw the land of Jazer and the land of Gilead, that behold, the place was a place for cattle, the children of Gad and the children of Reuben came and spake unto Moses and unto Eleazar the priest and unto the prince of the congregation, saying, at Taroth and Dibon and Jazer and Nimrah and Heshbon and Elilah and Sheban and Nebo and Beon, even the country which the Lord smote before the congregation of Israel, is a land for cattle, and thy servants have cattle. Wherefore, said they, if we have found grace in thy sight, let this land be given unto thy servants for a possession, and bring us not over Jordan. And Moses said unto the children of Gad and the children of Reuben, shall your brethren go to war, and shall ye sit here? And wherefore discourage ye the heart of the children of Israel from going over into the land which the Lord had given them? Skip down to verse 16. And they came near unto him and said, we will build sheepfolds here for our cattle, and cities for our little ones, but we ourselves will go ready armed before the children of Israel until we have brought them unto their place. And our little ones shall dwell in the fenced cities because of the inhabitants of the land. We will not return unto our houses until the children of Israel have inherited every man his inheritance. For we will not inherit with them on yonder side Jordan or forward, because our inheritance is fallen to us on this side Jordan eastward. And Moses said unto them, if ye will do this thing, if ye will go armed before the Lord to war, and will go all of you armed over Jordan before the Lord, until he hath driven out his enemies from before him, and the land be subdued before the Lord, then afterward ye shall return and be guiltless before the Lord and before Israel, and this land shall be your possession before the Lord. So you find here that they wanted to stay on the other side of Jordan, but the stipulation was they had to go and fight for their brothers. And so we come to this text in Joshua, and all of that has taken place. They fought for their brothers. They drove the heathen out of the land. All of that was done. And here's where our text picks up. All of that has taken place, and now they're being given freedom and liberty to go back about their life. But I want you to notice something. All right, so that's the context. In verse 5 of Joshua 22, Joshua begins that verse with the word but. All right, so he says in verse 3, you've not left your brethren these many days unto this day, but have kept the charge of the commandment of the Lord your God. And now the Lord your God hath given rest unto your brethren as he promised them. Therefore now return ye and get you unto your tents and unto the land of your possession, which Moses the servant of the Lord gave you on the other side Jordan. But he begins it with the word but. Why is that? Well, we kind of get the impression that there was some danger that could befall them once they got back to their homes. You follow me here? Here you've done what you said you would do. You're guiltless before the Lord. Go ahead and go back to your families and your possessions. But these people, he says here, were to put to practice some things with much fervency and diligence. They were to put to practice the commands and the admonitions that Moses had given them, which he had received from the Lord. These were not just suggestions that Joshua was handing out for the people. And we need to understand the attitude with which he speaks. He's speaking with passion here, and he's also commanding them that with passion they follow these commands. And there were very specific things that Joshua warned about. These things were things that were supposed to help them in their life. They were things that would keep them in harmony with the Lord. Now let me make an application here. The nation of Israel is a picture or a type of the Christian life. It's a type of Christian living. And so if God gives these commands to the nation of Israel, and God is telling them to apply these things in their living, in their daily life, and if the nation of Israel is a type or a picture of the Christian life, then we can make some real applications for our own life from the things that God gives as commands to His people here. And that's what I want us to do tonight. I want us to look at this verse and see God's requirements of His people. The first thing that we find here, note, remember we said that the key words were diligent and heed. He says, diligently take heed, with vigor, completely, speedily, make sure, regard, observe these things. The first thing is he says, give diligence to or take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you. Here he says, do the commandment and the law. Now, if we think about this, there's nothing else that's given. He just says, do the commandment and the law which Moses has already given you. It implies that there was prior knowledge to what these commands were. There wasn't instruction as to what these commands were. He says, do the commands. Moses already gave them to you. It implies that they had prior knowledge of what these commands were. There wasn't any real learning that had to be done here. They already knew what the commands were. It was simply a matter of them putting it to practice. Are you with me? Not only does it imply that they already knew, but it also implies some personal responsibility. He says, you need to do what you already know. There's some personal responsibility here. Now, there was no one forcing them to observe these commands. There was no one overseeing them. But God was holding them responsible and accountable. They're being let go. Joshua says, you take heed to do these things that you know. They're on their own. No one's overseeing them. God, though, is holding them responsible and accountable. And you know what? The same is true in our life, folks. God gives us freedom to choose. God gives us the freedom to choose to obey Him and to follow Him and put to practice His principles in our life. God is not in heaven, you know, waiting to just cast a lightning bolt down to correct your path if you choose not to be obedient to Him. You certainly don't give account to me. God holds us accountable for the truth that He's given to us. We can choose, but know that God will also hold us accountable for the things that we reject. You know, a person can know all that there is to know about dieting and eating clean and eating right and exercise and doing all the... A person can know everything that there is to know about all that stuff. But unless they actually do something with it, that knowledge does them no good. Amen? If we don't put to practice what they know, it doesn't do them any good. It's similar to... It's really what we read about in James 1, verse 22 on Sunday. To be doers of the word and not hearers only. Because if we are doers of, or if we're not doers of the word, we just deceive ourselves that we actually believe those things. We are accountable to God for obedience to the things that we know. Look in Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Why? That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. You know, some, a lot of people, a lot of Christians say, well, I just don't know why I can't get ahead in life. And I tried so hard at this, and I tried so hard at that, and it just seems like my money flies away, and there's always this thing, and there's always that thing that comes up, and I just can't get ahead. Or somebody might say, well, it just seems like things are so frustrating all the time in my life. And there's no peace, and it just seems like they're miserable all the time, or there's not any joy or happiness. I wonder if they don't find success or they don't find their way prosperous because they're not observing to do all that they know God has commanded them to do. How can we expect God to bless our life if we're not going to be obedient to the things that He's commanded us to do? People face that issue all the time, you know, when it comes to their finances. I've had people just say, you know, it just seems like I can't get ahead with things, and my finances are a wreck, and this and that. And I would ask them, are you tithing? Well, you know, at least some. I give a portion, I give a little bit whenever I can, but you know, I just have these bills, and I just have so much going on that I just have to use it for other things. How can we expect God to bless our finances if we're not going to be obedient to what He's commanded us to do? Why do people find themselves getting farther and farther and farther into debt instead of coming out when they're working so hard to do it? Because the hand of God is not blessing. And that applies in all kinds of areas. That's just one. Jesus said in Luke chapter 6 and verse 46, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? So often that's the word from the Christian's mouth is Lord. But what does Lord mean? It means master. And if there's a master, then there has to be a what? A servant. And we're obedient. A servant is to be obedient to their Lord. He's not our Lord if we don't obey the things that He's commanded us to do. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And that applies on every level, folks. Whether it's our personal life and the things that we allow into our personal life, whether that's comes to separation from this world, whether that means soul winning, we're commanded to be a witness for Christ. But why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? A person can live however they want, I guess. God's not forcing anybody to do anything, but look at Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Ecclesiastes 11, and look with me at verse 9. The Bible says, rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Go ahead, live however you want to live. Walk according to your own eyes and your own desires. Do whatever you want. But know this, for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. Joshua said to these people, you go back to your life, go back to your families, but be sure that you observe, be sure that you with diligence do the commandment of the law of God. Do what you know. There's personal responsibility here, personal accountability here. And the same is true in our life. We, at the same time, need to, with diligence, take heed to do the commandment of the Lord, the law of God, the word of God. We need to continually, children of God, saint of God, fellow church member, we need to continually be aligning our life with the truth of God's word. Not determining what we want to obey and not obey, or determining what we're going to apply and what we're not going to apply, or determining the Lord will understand. You can live however you want, but know this, for all these things, the Lord will bring thee into judgment. We're accountable to the truth that God has given to us, and we need to continually be aligning our life with the truth of God and His Word. That was the first thing he said, but the second thing he said, go back there to Joshua 22, verse 5. But take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you, to love the Lord your God. Here's the second thing, to love the Lord your God. The word love here that Joshua uses is a word that means to be friends with. What does it imply? He says to love the Lord, to be a friend of God. The implication is that there's fellowship and that there's agreement there. You can't have fellowship without agreement. Amen? Amos 3:3, can two walk together except they be agreed? Now, does that mean that I'll be a friend with God, but God has to come down to where I am, to what I think is acceptable or what I think is profitable? No, it's the other way around, isn't it? In order for there to be agreement, we have to be in agreement with God. And he says that you need to be diligent in your life to take heed, to diligently pursue after loving the Lord, having fellowship with God. Well, to have fellowship with him means that we have to know him. To be a friend of his, it means we have to know him. You don't call somebody a friend that you don't know. What does that mean? It means having an intimate knowledge of the person from time spent together. Look in Psalm 31 with me. Note these portions of Scripture and the connection between loving the Lord. Psalm 31 in verse 23. The Bible says, O love the Lord, all ye his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. What is the result or the connection here with loving the Lord? O love the Lord, all ye his saints. And those who love the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Look at Psalm 97. Psalm 97, verse 10. Ye that love the Lord, hate evil. He preserveth the souls of his saints. He delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked. What is the connection with loving the Lord here? If you love the Lord, you hate evil. The two can't go together. There can't be a mixing of them. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30, and look in verse 16 with me. In that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply. And the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. What's the connection here? To love the Lord, to walk in His ways, to keep His commandments and His statutes, and what's going to happen? You're going to live, and you're going to multiply, and the Lord is going to bless your life. There's a direct connection between growing in our love for the Lord and hating evil. There's a direct connection between growing in our love for the Lord and doing His will and His hand of blessing on the life. Who doesn't want the blessing of God? Raise your hand if you don't want the blessing of God. I didn't think so. There's a direct connection between the blessing of God and growing in our love for the Lord. This also gives us some insight into the character of God. What does it tell us? That God wants a close relationship with His children. And God wants to bless your life. Amen. Think about that. The God of eternity, the God of creation, all-powerful God, wants a close relationship with you. But He's not going to come down to where we are. We've got to align with Him. Why do we rob ourselves of blessing? Let me say it again. Why do we rob ourselves of blessing by not aligning with what God says in His Word? We get so stubborn sometimes about certain things, certain areas of life, certain things that the flesh does not want to let go of, and I just think this is fine, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. We hang on to the things that are meaningless and pointless things that are only going to drag us down or keep us from drawing close to the Lord. And what do? We rob ourselves of the blessing that God wants to give and bring into our life. Why not just have a heart of yieldedness and surrender to the Lord? Amen? Yeah, I know. I'm that way too. That flesh just doesn't want to let go. And we justify all kinds of things to justify our thing, the thing that we don't want to let go of. I was mentioned this in a Bible study that my wife and I had earlier this week. And it was an illustration that I had actually heard on the radio. And as I heard that illustration, I was like, whoa, that is so powerful and so true in the Christian life. And the story was talking about how these natives in some country, you know, I don't know if it was African country somewhere, but how they would catch these monkeys, and they were impossible to catch any other way with snares and with traps, because they were fast, or they could see the traps, whatever. And so they figured out a way to trap these monkeys, and it was really simple. It was without any snares or anything. And what they would do is they would take these coconuts, and they would hollow the coconut out, and they would put a hole in the top of it that was just big enough for the monkey to put his hand into. And down inside of that coconut, they would put food. And what those monkeys would do is they would get there and they'd put their hand down inside and they would grab hold of that food and they would not let go. And then they were able to capture these monkeys so easily because they couldn't get away, because they couldn't use their hand to, you know, to get into the trees and whatever. And they would trap them. But the reason they were trapped and the reason they were ensnared is because they just would not let go of the thing inside of that coconut. If they would just let go of it, their hand would come right out. And it's so true with the things of this world and areas of our lives, you know, that we just grip onto it with all of our might, and we just refuse to let go of it, and all it does is ensnare us and keeps us from growing closer to the Lord and experiencing the blessing of God in our life, because we just won't let go. It's not part of the notes. I don't know how I got onto that. Oh, it's insight into the character of God. He wants to bless our life. He wants a close relationship with us. But sometimes that means we just got to let go. Can two walk together except they be agreed? We need to come more in agreement with God in our life and constantly be aligning our life with the Word of God. So Joshua says to these people, make sure that you take diligent heed to do the command of the Lord, to love the Lord your God. And then he says in verse 5 there, to walk in all his ways. To walk in all of his ways. Look at me in Galatians chapter. Go to Galatians chapter 5. This word, to walk in all of his ways, the word walk means to follow. It means to pursue. It means to run. All right? So follow that line of thinking and look in Galatians 5. Verse 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. All right? So keep that in mind as well with the definition, to follow, to pursue, to run. Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Look at 1 John chapter 2. 1 John 2, verse 6. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. You say that you abide in Christ, then you ought to be walking in Christ. Like I said here, the definition of the word is to follow, to pursue, to run. So Joshua tells these people, make sure that you diligently, with passion, take heed to walk in all of the Lord's ways, to follow, to pursue, to run after the ways of the Lord. What does that imply? Well, to me, it implies that there's with purpose or intent. Are you with me? If you're going to pursue after something and run after something, it's on purpose. It's with intent. You don't pursue or run after something by accident. If you're chasing something, you're doing it on purpose. Look at Colossians chapter 2 with me. We have to, on purpose, walk in the ways of the Lord with intent. Colossians 2, verse 6 says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so he says, now that you're saved, you therefore receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. All right? So he says you're saved, then you need to walk in him. Verse 7, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. So he says, if you're saved, you need to walk in the Lord as well, being rooted, their salvation, and built up in him, their sanctification, and established in the faith, their spiritual maturity, as ye have been taught. And he says, but beware, lest any man spoil you or carry you off. That's what that word means. Through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men and after the rudiments of the world. It means the rudiments of the world. It means the principal elements coming from the world, the thinking of the world. It can carry us off and cause us to not walk in the ways of the Lord. How are we rooted? How are we grounded? Well, it's not by accident. It's on purpose. By walking purposefully in the things of God. Listen, God's not going to force us to follow him. It's a choice that we make. Therefore, if we find ourselves on a different path and on the wrong path or pursuing things other than that which is godly, that is also a choice that we make. It's important, it's imperative that we walk, that we pursue on purpose, we run after the ways of the Lord. Listen, what I'm saying is it's got to be a foundation for the life. It's got to be a root. It's got to be a foundation principle for life. Listen to me. It's got to be solidified in the child of God's life that I am going to submit and surrender my will to the Lord in all things. Do I know everything about the Lord yet? No, I don't. But as truth is revealed to me, as the Spirit of God begins to work in me, begins to highlight something in my life, it is a root foundation that I'm going to yield my will to God. It's got to be established as a foundational principle for life. If it's not, what's going to happen? There's going to be a constant battle and a constant struggle. Well, my flesh just doesn't want to let this thing go. The Spirit of God says, I want that thing to go. And what happens? You gain no ground. You spin your wheels, constantly spinning your wheels in your Christian life. It's got to be a root foundation, foundational principle for life on purpose. Sometimes that means making some hard choices, maybe some extreme choices in your family and in your life to put yourself in a position where we can walk in the ways of God. And then he says back there in chapter 22 of Joshua, verse 5, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments. The word keep there means to protect. It means to preserve. It means to watch for, put a hedge about, keep, protect, watch for the commandments of the Lord. The idea that is carried with this word is sort of like a shepherd who keeps the sheep, right? The shepherd does whatever it takes to care for and protect his flock. He's not going to let anything endanger or jeopardize the flock. He's going to keep them and protect them. And this is the idea. He says to keep and protect God's commandments, and we need to keep and protect and preserve God's truth in our heart. What does that mean? Well, it means we need to be very careful about what and to whom we listen. We need to guard and care for truth in our own heart. We have to be careful about what we listen to. And we have to constantly be lining ourselves up with the Word of God. So often, this is the way it is, though, with Christian people. They say, oh, I believe God's Word. I love God. I love His Word. But what they do is that they have some of God's Word and some of what I think. And this is what forms the pattern for their life or the habits of their life. Are you with me? I love the Lord. I love God's Word. It's some of God's Word, but it's also mixed with some of what I think. And this is what forms the foundation for life. That's not keeping God's commandments, guarding truth, or preserving truth. And we're instructed to preserve truth in our own heart. Look with me at 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 14, Paul told Timothy, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And he says, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the result, the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works. Paul's admonition to Timothy, continue in the things that you've heard, the things that you've learned and been assured of, and you've known the Holy Scriptures. Continue in the Scriptures. What's going to happen? The man of God is going to grow. He's going to be complete. Truly furnished unto all good works. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1 says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest what? Lest at any time we should let them slip. Truth is fragile in our own heart. Are you with me on that? Truth itself is solid, but it's fragile in our own heart if we don't keep it, if we don't preserve it. The Word of God says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. On purpose, guarding, protecting truth. And then he says, to cleave unto the Lord. Joshua told these people, you give diligent heed to guard truth, protect truth, and cleave unto the Lord. The word means to abide fast. It means to cling, to stick. That means wherever he goes, wherever he leads, that's where I go. That's where I am. Just it's like the idea behind that word, sort of like a barnacle, you know, how it sticks fast to a ship. And it doesn't matter where that ship goes, that's where that barnacle goes. Whether it's sailing to China, whether it's sailing to Hawaii, that's where that barnacle goes. That's the idea behind cleaving unto the Lord, to stick fast. It's easy to get off course when circumstances of life start to loom large. But if we're firmly attached to the Lord, we're not going to stray. How do we do that? By having as a firm foundation of life a heart attitude of yieldedness and surrender to the Lord. Does that describe you tonight, my friend? Can you be honest with yourself and say, yes, that truly describes me and my love for the Lord and my yieldedness and surrender for the Lord? But then he says, lastly, to serve the Lord with all of your heart. Take diligent heed to serve the Lord with all of your heart. Look in Deuteronomy chapter 10. Deuteronomy chapter 10. The words that Joshua uses here, to serve him with all your heart, it means compelled. It means enslaved. A bondservant, essentially. Deuteronomy 10, verse 12 says, "And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandment of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day." What are the last three words? "For thy good." Wow. Compelled to serve the Lord, to keep his commandments, to love him with all of our heart, to keep his statutes for our own good, for thy good. That is due to a heart that is full of love for the Lord. We serve him. If we truly serve him, it comes from a heart that is full of love for the Lord. And look, if we've been careful in our life to put to practice these other principles, this part, serving the Lord, that comes easy. It's a direct result, a natural result. This service to Christ is a natural result of diligently taking heed to keep the commandment of the Lord and to cleave unto the Lord and to protect truth and to yield to the Lord. Man, service to the Lord is a natural result of that. We're already going to have a surrendered will. We're already going to have a desire to draw close to the Lord and to serve him. Why? Because we love him. Because we realize what he's done for us. And Joshua says to these people, look, you're on your own, but you need to take diligent heed to do this. And if you do, and when you do, you're going to find your way prosperous. You're going to find good success. You're going to find the blessing of the Lord. All of that, he says, you need to do with zeal, with passion. It's done with purpose. And listen, you choose whether or not your life is going to go down this road. You choose whether or not you're going to yield to the commands of the Word of God, and areas of your life are going to align and conform with the truth of God. You choose that. But know this, for all these things, the Lord keeps us or will hold us accountable. I think it becomes real evident in a person's life. It's very plain to see when somebody is truly devoted to Christ. They have a spirit about them. They have a way about them that is unmistakable. So the challenge for us is, do a personal checkup. See where you are in relation to these things. Is it truly the attitude of your heart to have a yieldedness and a surrender as God reveals truth in life? Well, what does God require of his people? To do his commandments, to love him, to pursue after him, to run after him. Then we find blessing. Then we find success. Is that true of you in your life? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us to be a people who are determined to run after the Lord. Father, to be yielded in all areas of life. And there might be things about our life that sometimes we're resistant to the will of God in, and we struggle with in our flesh. Father, I pray that you'd cause us, Father, to be yielded to you, and Father, be patient and be kind. And Father, I know you are. You're always tender with us and always patient with us when we're resistant. But I pray that you'd help us to, Father, have as a motive for life, a foundation for life, to determine that as God speaks to my heart, I'm gonna yield. I'm gonna obey. And Father, in doing so, we find blessing, we find joy, we find peace, and Father, we're able to be used of our Lord to make a difference for all eternity in other people's lives. So Father, I pray that this would be an abiding principle for your people. Thank you for the time we've shared together tonight. Father, help us to meditate on your word and make the applications as the Lord points them out in our life. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.